As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. We have here in our gospel reading a vivid story of this young man. We must note how the man came and how Jesus met with him. He came running. He flung himself at Jesus' feet. There is something amazing with the sight of this very rich man, a young aristocrat, falling at the feet of a penniless prophet from Nazareth who was on the way to becoming an outlaw. "Good teacher," he began, and straight away Jesus fired back, "No flattery. Do not call me good. Keep that word for God." It looks almost as if Jesus was trying to pour cold water on that young man's enthusiasm. And there is a lesson here. It is clear that this man came to Jesus in a moment of overflowing emotion. It's also clear that the young man was fascinated by Jesus. Jesus did two things that every evangelist, every preacher, every teacher ought to remember and to copy. First, he said, in effect, "Stop and think. Are you wrought up and palpitating with emotion? I don't want you swept to me by a moment of emotion. Think calmly what you are doing." Jesus was telling him, even at the very outset, to count the cost of becoming a disciple. Second, he said, in effect, "You cannot become a Christian by sentimental passion for me alone. You must look at God." Preaching and teaching always mean the conveying of truths through the personality, and thereby lies a great danger. The danger is that the pupil may form a personal attachment to the teacher and think that it is an attachment to God. The teacher and the preacher must never point to himself. He must always point the way to God. And this is there is in all true teaching a certain self-obliterating. The teacher and the preacher are in the end only finger posts pointing the way to God. Never did any story lay down the essential of Christian truth that respectability is not enough. Jesus quoted the commandments, which were the basis of a decent life. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Without hesitation, the man said that he kept them all. Not one thing, with the exception of honor your father and mother. All of these commandments are what we call negative commandments. In effect, the man was saying, I never did in my life anyone harm. And this may have been perfectly true, but the real question for the Christian, the one who would follow Christ, is not what we haven't done, but what good have we done? And the question to this man was even more pointed. With all of your possessions, with all of your wealth, with all that you could give away, what positive good have you done to others? How much have you gone out of your way to help and to comfort, to strengthen others, as you might have done? Respectability, on the whole, consists in not doing things, not harming, not defrauding, not doing all these things. Christianity, rather, consists in doing things for others. That was precisely where this man, like so many, have fallen. So Jesus confronted him with a challenge. In effect, he said, get out of this moral respectability of not doing things that are wrong, and rather begin looking at the goodness that you could be doing for others. Take yourself and all that you have and spend everything on others. Then you will find true happiness, true treasure in heaven. The man could not do it. He had great possessions, which it had never entered his head to give away, and when it was suggested to him, he couldn't bear it. True, he had never stolen, and he had never defrauded anyone, but neither had he ever been, nor could he compel himself to be positively and sacrificially a generous giver. It may be respectable never to take away from anyone or do them harm, but it is Christian to do good for someone, to give to someone in need. In reality, Jesus was confronting this man with a basic and essential question. How much do you want real Christianity? Do you want it enough to give away your possessions? And the man had to answer in effect, I want it, but I don't want it as much as all that. We all want goodness, but few of us want it enough to pay the price and to be a sacrificial giver. Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and there are many things that were maybe in Jesus' look of love. The first was the appeal of love. Jesus was not angry with him. He loved him. It was not the look of anger, but the appeal of love. There was the challenge. It was a look which sought to pull the man out of his comfort place, out of his settled life, and into the adventure of being a real disciple, a real Christian. It was also the look of grief, and that grief was the sorest grief of all, the grief of seeing a man deliberately choose not to be what he might have been and had it in him to be. Jesus looks at us with the same appeal of love and with the challenge to become a doer, a sacrificial giver. God grant that he may never have to look at us with sorrow for a loved one who refused to be what we might have been and could have been. Amen.